Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with the president and founder of the Amram Franchise Opportunity, Julian Gordon. And for more than a decade, Amram has been serving the non-weight-bearing population with the satisfaction of easy accessibility to and from destinations and in-home mobility with exceptional products, superior customer service, and a unique distribution method through their invested franchise partners. And that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today because we're meeting with the president and the founder of the Amram Franchise Opportunity, Julian Gordon. And for more than a decade, Amram has been serving the non-weight-bearing population with the satisfaction of easy accessibility to and from destinations and in-home mobility with exceptional products, superior customer service, and a unique distribution method through their invested franchise partners. Hey, Julian, good morning. How you doing today?
Good, Marty. I'm here, and thank you for having us on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You wouldn't know this, Julian, but it was about like 6 months ago, Don and I, we actually spent about 10 minutes talking about the Amram franchise opportunity. We've been very impressed and actually following you guys for some time now. My father has Parkinson's disease, so the show's kind of timely, you know, because we're starting to get ready to, I guess you could say, move to that phase where it's getting difficult for him to get around the house, you know. So I just think this is such an important service, and I think the market is a lot bigger than people even know.
I agree. Many people don't see the range of business opportunities that happens in our franchise.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Well, look, that's our guest. Where are you calling from this morning, Julian?
I'm in Boston.
Okay, great. Is that where your headquarters is actually located?
Yes, we manufacture the ramps right here in the city of Boston. Right.
That's fantastic. So what were you doing before, I guess you could say, starting AMREP? I know you have an interesting background. I was reading about it last week, and just fascinating. But if you could tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Okay. I have been doing other metal things. Our ramps are made of steel. And prior to seeing the opportunity in ramps, we did other metal things for the building and architectural markets, things like stairs and railings and doors and such. And that business was very much cyclical based upon interest rates, construction, and many things. And we did well with it, but it just wasn't satisfying. As we went along, we did have the opportunity to work on ramps and found that that is something that is extremely necessary. It serves the aging population, and it also is involved with healthcare. Those are two very strong market dynamics that I don't think anyone can divert.
Right.
I ask people when they consider us, remember that 80% of healthcare spending is done in the last 20% of life. And the aging population and baby boomers coming to that point right now, the opportunity for things in healthcare is really exponential.
Yeah.
The other thing that, Marty, focus on us and are driving our business is the fact that they don't want you in the hospital at all anymore.
Right.
They want to send you home the day before you get there. Why? Because it's cheaper for the insurer to take care of you with some home health care format than it is to keep you in an expensive major medical facility. That could be thousands of dollars per day, and it's much less expensive if they can get you home. We find, Marty, that many times they will discharge patients. The doctor walks in on Tuesday, says, okay, you can go home now, and we need you there on Thursday. That's one of the essential parts of our whole franchise concept. We have organized ourselves so we have coast-to-coast stock and warehouse through our franchise locations so that when we get a call from a medical professional that says, we need to get mother home now, we don't have to ship things off the East Coast or the West Coast and take a week to get there. We do delivery in days, so it really serves that population. The other really important thing about this is that 45% of the folks who call us are not permanently disabled. There are things like accidents, skin accidents, knee replacements, hip replacements. 45% of the ramps that are used are not needed permanently. Sure, there are many folks like your dad whose condition does not seem to have a turnaround in it, so that those are permanent installations. That's about 55% of it. Christopher Reeve used to rent from us, Marty, as often as three times a month, anywhere in the country, just to get up on stage for 20 minutes.
I saw that,
There's a whole range of things that you can do to serve people's needs on a temporary basis. We do graduations. We do voting. Anywhere in the country, just for one day, we'll provide ramps so people in wheelchairs can get in and be able to express themselves in voting. So it's a real simple message that this franchise delivers. It's a low-price ramp system. We rent them or we sell them, depending upon the length of time you need it. The interesting thing is, Marty, there's a good percentage of people who call us who don't know exactly whether the condition is going to be temporary or long-term when they call.
Right.
For instance,
right.
a stroke victim. Who knows when mom will be up and dancing again when she's had a serious stroke. So for those folks, we have an optional plan that says if you're unsure how long you need it, start off renting, and then any point along the way, if it later becomes clear, that you would have been better off to have owned it originally, we will convert 75% of any of the rents for the that they paid and put it over to the purchase so they don't get stuck. And I think we're the only folks who offer anything like that and who are addressing the rental program nationally, coast to coast, with a consistent product.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, everything you said, Julie, I mean, it's just, I teach for Kaplan University, and we have several students at every graduation ceremony that are in wheelchairs. You know, we're an online university, which is why a lot of students perhaps maybe in wheelchairs attend our university, you know. So it's wonderful to see that they have the ability to, you know, go up on a ramp and, you know, attend graduation ceremony just like everyone else. I have a nephew this last summer. He had surgery on his foot, and, of course, they needed a ramp, you know, to get him up and down. But it's just, I mean, these ramps are really all around us, and they're just so important. They really, I call this, I think one of the reasons I loved your franchise so much is because I think it's a real feel-good type of franchise. I mean, you're really providing a difference in someone's life, aren't you? I mean, you have the ability to make money, but at the same time, change people's lives at the same time. So
exactly.
There's just so many reasons.
Exactly.
I was impressed with your franchise. Yeah, it's fascinating. How do you describe, I mean, if you guys were at a franchise show, Julian, and someone came up to your booth, a typical question is, you know, what do you guys do? How do you typically respond to the question?
We initially would say to them, look, we're in a product that is sold or rented serving the aging population and the healthcare market.
Uh-huh.
That right away, if they've done any bit of research into franchising, they'll see that's one of the really more stable and growing segments of the franchise industry.
Agree. Yeah.
If, Marty, it's interesting, if everyone that we meet has had some experience in their life with their grandparents or their, a family member or a motorcycle accident, some good thing where they have some appreciation for people's issues when they can't get in and out of, when they struggle with stairs.
Yes, absolutely.
So I let them know that, and Marty, if I get an empathetic response from the person who's inquiring about the franchise,
mm-hmm.
That's really what I'm looking for. If the first 20 questions
right.
are all about return on investment and the numbers,
right.
well, that's great. But if the person expresses an empathetic focus on this, because that's what it really takes. If you care about people with AmRamp, you're halfway home, because we need to sit with mom and dad, and you can't fake empathy. If
right.
you're not the type of person who can communicate with them and make them have some feeling that you care about the situation and you can offer a solution to what they need, you're an AmRamp person.
Absolutely. It's well said.
So it's really easy, and I've collected or arranged. We actually test our folks in terms of their interests and is this really who you are and are you going to be happy and comfortable in this franchise. If some folks, if you have to listen to people every day tell you about their past history, their trials and issues, it can make you crazy. And if that's the case, I say don't do this franchise. But if you enjoy talking to people and helping people and making money, that is the AmRamp process that we're offering.
That's fantastic. I remember when you guys first started, Julian. I mean, how many franchises are you guys up to now? I know you've had some pretty nice growth
yep.
over the last several years.
We have 45 locations, including one in Canada. We just opened up our first in Canada, and we'll be
wow.
going to England. We've had inquiry from most every country on the planet. Even Marty, the United Nations called us as part
wow.
of their landmine programs. They have wheelchairs, but they don't have ramps in some of these third world countries.
Right, right.
So we'll be doing this thing worldwide because it's a very common need that everyone has. Older people
yeah.
struggle with stairs. And often, Marty, people don't understand and appreciate that when an older person has difficulty getting up and down stairs and
mm-hmm.
if they slip and fall and break something,
right.
a third of them will be dead in 6 months from complication of those injuries. Only 25% of them ever regain the level of function they had prior to the injury, and over 50% of them end up in some extensive rehab painful process to try to recover. So the family should, I'm always preaching this, stay well ahead of the struggle, because I hate when they call me up and say, "Mom's fallen three times, I think we should get a ramp." So
right, of course,
if people were just more sensitive to that issue, the world would be a better place.
Yeah, it's well said. How has technology played a role in this business, Julian? It sounds like it's a technology, I would assume, has played a pretty big role.
It has. A ramp is really a simple, dumb, rentable. The same ramps we started with when we first patented it in 1998 are still out there. I mean, it's just a piece of metal.
Right.
But what we've learned, Marty, as an ongoing consequence of the ramp business is another simple truth. People wish to remain at home till the end of days and never go to the nursing home.
Yes.
I don't mean to demean nursing homes, but if you've smelled a nursing home or you've been taken care of by the lowest paid people on the planet who don't want to be there and wish to remind you every minute you're in the place, it's a horrible thing. The AARP surveys indicate that 90% of people surveyed wish to remain at home till the end of days and never leave. But, Marty, when they can't perform what they call the basic activities of daily living, toileting, bathing, dressing yourself, feeding yourself, and things like that, doctor's appointments, you pretty well have to leave. So what AmRamp has done is patented with a process to deal with these issues. When mother can no longer lift dad out of bed, we have got a low-priced lift system now that can be slid under dad like a little hammock, and mother, with a touch of a button, a caregiver or mom can raise dad, traverse him from the bed in the sling to a portable shower that we've developed, a low-cost plug-in shower that doesn't require a plumber. It just hooks on to the faucet, and we can bathe dad still in the same sling. We can do toileting in the commode in the same sling. It's a hygienic sling. And we can dry him off and take him out to the mall or take him out to doctor's appointments. But we can provide at low cost on a rental basis, if necessary, for hospice programs where they don't have a long-term need, all these activities of daily living. And that's the next direction and the long-term focus of AmRamp.
Are there numbers on the industry, Julian? It seems like the numbers seem to go up every single year as long as I've been following it. But what are the numbers up to at this point?
Marty, the last survey was 35 million Social Security recipients. The number doubles to 70 million in the year 2023. So, and as I told you, 80% of healthcare is spent in the last 20% of life. So as the population ages, there is more and more demand for these services, and I welcome people who feel the need to do good things for others and make money to consider AmRamp.
Absolutely. What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since starting the company, Julian? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things, but isn't one particular thing that stands out? It's always a tough question for our guest.
Marty, we get calls. Every story begins that way. We get calls.
Mm-hmm.
One day I got a call from the Navy, and they were bringing the John F. Kennedy aircraft carrier up the East Coast for a reunion. And they wanted these old world – it's an old ship. Many of the sailors are old-timers now. This is a World War II ship, the John F. Kennedy.
Right.
And they wanted wheelchair access to the deck because there isn't any. There are ladders and stairways inside. But the old folks, older sailors – for this reunion, couldn't get on deck. So we went rented for 96 hours to the Navy, the largest ramp ever constructed. It was 244 feet long, and to provide access to the lowest portal on the ship. The other interesting thing about that challenge, Marty, was the ship is going up and down 9 feet with the tide change twice a day. So we had to get a safe, stable ramp installed, and we ended up using a gangway from a cruise ship that we hinged on the John F. Kennedy and on our ramp system so that it was a legal viable win for the entire 96 hours. The Navy was thrilled. They let us do the Ronald Reagan in Newport News also last year. And they believe we can open up any capital ship for public viewing in the Navy. And interestingly, this year is the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812. Mm-hmm. So the Navy has come up to Boston, had lunch with us, and they want us to provide wheelchair access of this for this flotilla of ships that will be leaving New Orleans, where they're going to reenact the Battle of 1812. And they're going to go to Miami and Charleston and Baltimore and Washington and New York. And we're going to provide ramps at all the ports, and each of our franchises will be involved in that effort. The government loves us. We do this year's Christmas tree at the White House started in California. They send these giant trees from a different state every year, Marty, and this year the Department of the Interior or the White House called our local office in California, and they put this giant tree on a flatbed, and they had hundreds of stops as it toured the country on its way to Washington, and we provided wheelchair access with our ramps along with that vehicle so that at each stop people in wheelchairs could get up, leave notes on the tree, so that when it got to D.C., it was a way of communicating. And we're real proud and love some of the things we get involved with.
Absolutely. It really is. As we said earlier, Joe, it's that feel-good, you know, type of franchise opportunity, you know, the ability to really change lives and put a smile, I think, on people's faces. It's great stories. What were your franchisees doing in their past lives, Julie? You spoke a little bit about the characteristics, but I mean, do they have a particular background or?
About a third of them have come from the medical side. Nurses who, my number two person was a medevac pilot, and his wife is at the Cleveland Clinic as an emergency room nurse. And when they see this, people in the healthcare industry, they see that this is a really viable opportunity, and they see it more clearly than you and I do, I guess.
They probably do, yeah, because they see it all the time.
Then, from there on in, I look for people who have had some success in some interpersonal event in their lives in some other profession, whether they actually sold things or not. If they were good at being successful with interpersonal things, usually that meant the sales background of some kind. The ramp technology is easy. We have operations people who serve them around the country to help them do the nuts and bolts. And frankly, the franchisees don't install these. They have subcontractors. 70% of the franchises subcontract the installation. And your job as a franchisee is to raise awareness and meet people in the medical industry. Marty, we don't sell or offer ourselves directly to mom and dad. We've taken the approach that we'll visit the medical professionals who take care of mom and dad, people like case managers, physical therapists, occupational therapists, social workers, home discharge planners, and let them know we can help them help their clients. So it was a more effective way of us reaching more people with the same effort of awareness raising. And it's been very good for us because we're continually meeting new professionals who point us to their clients who need ramps.
Interesting. So what's the training like, Julian, for your new franchisees once they decide that, you know, you decide that they're a good match for your franchise system? Where do you go from there?
We bring them to Boston. Where they have to like lobster, Marty, or else they can't come. Because
that's true.
They come with the boss and you have to like lobster. And then, so you'll spend a week with, we did not franchise the Boston or New England area. We have franchises in Vermont and Maine and Connecticut, but we kept Eastern Mass and Rhode Island as our prototype, so when we brought people in, they could have a real first-hand experience. We're doing our own sales, so you'll travel with our salespeople, you'll put together ramps, you'll learn how to do estimating, and meet the team here. We feel it's as a small franchise, it has a great advantage over the mega franchises, where each of us, I'm Julian and Patrick and Connor is here and Mike, and it's a first-hand, first-hand business. We're trying to connect at a personal level with our franchisees because it's a better way. You're not a number here. You're one of a family that makes up Amrut.
Yeah, and I think that's important too, Julian. You know, I've seen, you know, with some franchises like, you know, again, like Subway or McDonald's, you know, like they call them like franchisee unit number, you know, 10,500. You know, it's like, who wants to be called that, you know? I mean, it's just, absolutely.
It's an advantage, and you should take advantage of it when you're small because it is very difficult having personal interactions, even with a small number, even with 45 people, that's a relatively small franchise. It's not tiny, but it's not as easy when there was only six or seven of us. I mean, half dozen phone calls, and everyone was informed. Now we have an intranet, and we have ways of keeping everyone communicating with each other and with us. And we have regular national meetings. We were in San Antonio this year. We're in Freeport in the Bahamas 2 years ago, in Las Vegas and San Diego. Being from Boston, everybody likes the warm weather. We have our meeting in February. And at that point, we'll roll out some new initiatives, and we'll mainly share the experiences of partners with each other. They listen to us all year long, but in this opportunity, they can share with each other their own experiences. And it's really a valuable part of the process.
Yeah, I think the whole sharing of best practices, I think, is very handy, you know, for your other franchisees, maybe possibly things that they never thought of, or even the franchisor maybe never thought of before, you know. So it is very interesting.
Marty, you're totally right. I always tell folks that McDonald's did not invent the Big Mac. It was the franchisor who developed it. And
exactly.
We're always learning from our folks, but it is the reason we keep our own franchise here in Boston and New England.
Right.
So we're out meeting folks, and we only roll out things after we've tried them, seen that it works. Believe me, everything we come up with doesn't work the first time we try it, and we'll discard things after having attempted them in Boston. But once we roll them out, we can speak factually and in some depth about having done it. We can say, this was what our return was, these are the number of people who responded, and it's a really good aspect of franchising that you get to do things like this. It doesn't happen in distributor arrangements or in wholly owned arrangements. It's just a unique and better aspect of franchising.
Absolutely. So what are your plans for the future then, Julian? I mean, where do you guys see yourself maybe 5 years down the road?
Well, we want to be in Europe, Japan, where they have aging populations, and they have cultural sensitivity and respect for older members of the family. So they're a ready market for us, and as we grow, we'll grow into those markets and in the EU as well.
Wow. That's something. What's the best way for our listeners where they can get more information on becoming a franchisee, Julian? Any websites they can go to?
Yes, please. It's amramp.com.
Amramp.com.
It's a real simple thing, and there's a link there. It says franchising opportunities. And if folks who wish to receive a package of information could just give us some contact information, we want to know some basic information about yourself.
Right.
So we can put the right package for the right person.
That's fantastic. And I've been doing this a very long time. I've been in franchising for 10 years, and I have to say I've been very, very impressed with Amrut, you know. So I'm going to continue to follow you, and I'd like, you know, to already invite you guys back towards the end of the year or the beginning of next year as we watch you guys continue to grow.
It was a real pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Julian. The pleasure was mine. You have a great day today.
Talk to you then. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi everyone, this is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 2 years and almost have done 100 shows up to this point, and during that time frame we've had some fantastic quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from one of the top franchise attorneys in the country, Kevin Hine, and Kevin's going to talk to you about the hallmark of franchising. Our podcast today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And here we go with Kevin Hine.
I think that people need to focus on is whether or not they can easily replicate their system. The more difficult, the more detailed the operation is, the harder it is to replicate. So, for example, take the food industry. You see lots and lots of franchise companies in the quick service restaurant segment, in the fast casual segment, but you see very few successful franchise companies in the fine dining or the white tablecloth segment.
Sure.
And the reason is that it's very difficult to teach other people to execute at that level. When you've got people coming in at a very high price point, they don't want just food, they want a good experience, and that requires a certain level of skill and expertise, and it's very hard to replicate that across restaurants, even in a single city, much less across the country. So you want to make sure that you have something that's pretty easy to replicate and that you can train people on, because frankly you want people to, you want your franchisees to come in and be able to duplicate what you've done, or you're not going to build a very successful franchise system.
Right. I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons people invest in a franchise, of course, the money aspect, but because of this, the simplicity, hopefully, that the franchisor puts together. So this is a big part of you know, what you're talking about here, Kevin.
Absolutely. And the hallmark of franchising, and I know that some people can be critical of this, but the hallmark of franchising is that you give people the same experience no matter what market they're in.
Exactly.
You know, and we all know that if we stop at a McDonald's, whether we're in Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Maine, that hamburger is going to be the same.
Right.
And it's the same experience, and people come to rely on that and count on that experience, and that's why franchising has been so successful in so many industries.
Absolutely.
You know, and the last thing I always tell people is that you better have a unique marketing proposition. If you're going to try and franchise something and it's already been done, then you're at a real disadvantage. If you're just going to roll out the next hamburger chain franchise and there's nothing unique about what you do, then people are not going to be interested in buying into your system. They want to know, how do I compete with McDonald's, not how do I stand out there as a me too in comparison to McDonald's. So whether it's a new way of providing the service, whether it's a new way of collecting money, whether it's a new gimmick in terms of getting people in the door. I think of Pizza Patron, for example, the pizza chain out of Texas that serves predominantly the Latino market that recently started to accept pesos.
Right.
And I mean, that's a great marketing proposition. It's a way to say, look, yeah, we sell pizza, but boy, is this ever, you know, a unique way to get people in the door, people who have different currencies and who have different issues. You know, we're gonna service that market. That's something unique. And that's what that's one of the things that makes that chain particularly unique, and therefore it's able to attract people to become prospective franchisees.
Yeah, that pizza chain got a lot of PR too, Kevin, from that whole thing. You know, by doing something different, you know, it was they were pretty much in every national newspaper across the United States.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, there's the old saying that, you know, good PR or bad PR is the same. It's going to drive people in the door.
Right. And wasn't that your idea, Kevin, not accepting pesos?
That I would love to say that was my idea, but I'm not.
You know, you brought up a good point about the uniqueness here. I mean, I don't know if you listened earlier, but last week we interviewed Badass Coffee, and you know, there's a lot of different coffee franchises, but they stand out because they're quality coffee. They have a Hawaiian theme.
Right.
They have a whole story behind it. It was why they're having success, Kevin, is this point you're bringing up about the unique marketing, you know, proposition.
Right. That's what I thought of, Don. As Kevin was explaining this, I thought of the same thing, Badass Coffee.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a great example. There's lots of coffee purveyors out there.
Right.
What's the hook? What's the hook to get people to buy the franchise? And more importantly, what's the hook to get new customers in the door?
Exactly.
Right.